Welcome to worship tonight, friends. We gather in the presence of the Creator of all things to give praise, to give our whole selves once again to the one who calls us to hope, the one who calls us to trust that our mustard seeds of faith, our restless patience, our patched-together prayers are essential parts of the kingdom that God is bringing. The kingdom God is bringing here among us and throughout all the earth. It's good to be together in the name of Jesus, that name that brings us together, some of us who might not be in the same room otherwise. We serve a God who works wonders. And we come with an active hope that this Creator who is reconciling all things will continue this work of reconciliation and reuniting as we gather. That work of reconciliation and uniting within our own divided hearts, within our many diverse congregations, and even in our interconference relationships. I invite Marta and Brenda to join me. We light this candle, which holds the many colors of our great diversity, as a sign of our hope for a unity that only the Lord Christ can create. Let's come before God in prayer. Eternal One, Creator of the ends of the earth and the farthest galaxies, you do not grow tired or weary. Your mercy, your patience, your wisdom extend beyond our vision, beyond our understanding. You, O God, are a refuge for us. Emmanuel, in your life, in your skin and muscle and bone, you teach us how to hope. Christ, you face pain, touch it, transform it. Take us close to yourself now and speak the healing word. Spirit, advocate, comforter, and guide, would you come to well up in us as if a spring and do your new thing among us, your scattered and gathered people. Increase our faith as we wait on you, the living one. Amen.
Estamos esperando en Dios. We are waiting and hoping on God. In Spanish, the word esperanza means both waiting and hoping. And when we chose this theme of waiting and hoping for this conference assembly, we imagined that it would take some explaining and enlarging. Our North American culture has no patience for waiting. We want fast food, fast download speeds, fast responses to our phone calls, whether it be on cell phone or text messages. Even emails are getting too slow for us. And hoping, well, that just sounds like we're wishing that something might happen. We are movers and shakers. We like to get things done. Time is money and money is, whoa. Estamos esperando en Dios. We are waiting and hoping on God. Psalm 39 says, and now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Waiting on God is expectant and hopeful. Waiting on God is active. We pray, we read our Bibles, we listen for God's voice. Waiting on God is believing in the assurance of things hoped for, with a conviction of things not seen. Waiting on God helps us to go deeper into God's reality and gives us the permission to let go of our anxiety and choose God's peace. Waiting on God is an act of surrendering to God's will. When we wait on God, God is present with us. When we wait on God, we can expect to be led in the right direction and God's will to be done. When we wait on God's Spirit can do a transforming work in us. Excuse me, Mr. Potato Man, what are you doing?
Esperandoing.
Are you eating potato chips? There is something very wrong about that. But in this case, you are eating what you are.
What you were saying was pretty good, so keep going. Al esperando.
I don't think you quite understand esperando. It is an active waiting, not being a couch potato.
Dicto. And I am 327 channels to watch. Not to mention, it's football season!
Yes, but esperando is not just sitting around like a vegetable. Oh, sorry. Watching TV, it's getting in tune with life, your future, with God.
I'm in tune. I've got 327 channels. What else am I supposed to do? Waiting is boring. That's why they have magazines and a TV at the doctor's office.
This is a little off the subject, but what kind of doctor do potatoes go to?
An eye doctor. My point is, we live in a society that is on the go. You said yourself, fast food, internet, time is money. Who's got time to wait?
That's my point. We need esperando. We go and go and go, and we never take time to find out what God's direction is for us. Esperando is waiting with anticipation, waiting with preparation, surrendering our time and ourselves to God.
Touchdown!
So esperando is waiting with
rest stop on a road trip.
Yes. It is taking a breath to experience the refreshing of God and getting on the same page with Him. Esperando is taking stock of our hearts, minds, and souls to make sure that they are following God's will.
Well, then I don't have time to watch TV. I've got to go
esperando.
Adios, Señor Patata.
Want a chip?
No, thank you.
Adios.
Would you all stand as we begin a time of singing and praise?
Melky from Nations Worship Center in Philadelphia to come and read Psalm 46, 1-3, and 8-11 in Indonesian.
Mazmur 46 ayat 1-3. Allah itu bagi kita tempat perlindungan dan kekuatan, sebagai penolong dalam kesesakan sangat terbukti. Sebab itu kita tidak akan takut, sekalipun bumi berubah, sekalipun gunung-gunung guncang di dalam laut, sekalipun ribut dan berbuih airnya, sekalipun gunung-gunung goyang oleh gelorannya. Ayat 8-11. Pergilah, pandanglah pekerjaan Tuhan, yang mengadakan pemusnahan di bumi, yang menghentikan peperangan sampai ke ujung bumi, yang mematahkan busur panah menumpukan tombak, membakar kereta-kereta perang dengan api. Diamlah dan ketahuilah bahwa akulah Allah. Aku ditinggikan di antara bangsa-bangsa, ditinggikan di antara bumi. Tuhan semesta alam menyertai kita, kota benteng kita ialah Allah Yakub.
That's a great testimony song. Blessed assurance. Hallelujah. My name is Charlie Ness, Pastor Perk Ingle, Mennonite Church. For those of you that don't know who I am, it's my privilege tonight to introduce our speaker. But before I do that, I want to give you a little history lesson. Somewhere in the mid-1980s, the Proclamation Mission Commission decided that they wanted to establish a new church planning effort in the country of Mexico. The Goods and the Seitzes and the Fredericks and others had gone in the early 1960s, and then for quite a few years there was no new initiative. And so then toward the late 1980s, they said that they were interested in sending someone there to do some church planting and evangelism. I was a pastor at the Upper Skipack Mennonite Church at that time, and there was a young man who had come out of federal prison, who was a graduate attending Valley Forge Christian College, got involved in prison ministry with us at Liberty Ministries. And we were working together. He had a strong evangelistic gift. He had been to Mexico several times on mission trips and had learned some of the language. So we introduced him to Luke Beidler, who was the mission secretary. And they began to correspond, and just today we saw some of the original letters that went back and forth about that call. And in July of 1988, Upper Skipack Mennonite Church commissioned Bob and his wife Bonnie Stevenson to go to Mexico City. Then he was later ordained in the Fall Assembly of 1988 here with Franconia Conference. They'd been to Mexico City doing evangelism, church planting, and discipleship, and they're still there. Well, tonight they're here, but they're still in Mexico. They've raised their family there, and they planted numerous, I think about four congregations that they started, and currently Bob is the pastor slash leader of a large growing Anabaptist congregation known as the Monte Maria congregation. I'll let him tell you how many thousand members they have. I lose track. But it's an incredible work of God there in the outskirts of Mexico City, as well as churches in the villages in the mountains of Mexico. Bob, God has really blessed you in that ministry. Amen. And as we look back on these 26 years, not only has the people of Mexico been blessed, but we have as well. Personally, I've been there more times than I can remember, both teaching in your school of ministry, going to the mountains and preaching in a tent, helping build church buildings. Pastor Aurelio, the founder of this congregation, was here, attended conference assembly numerous times, learned some things from us about how to do meetings and how to keep minutes and those kind of things. And we have been blessed by your passion and by your zeal. And it's a joy for us to serve together this evening. For about 25 years, Bob and Bonnie were supported by the Franconia Mennonite Conference. That support has now ended in a formal way financially, as they are now fully supported by the Monte Maria Church. However, some of us are committed to continuing to support them through hospitalization insurance, and there are some papers around outside here. You can pick them up if you have interest in doing that. But Bob and Bonnie, I'd like to invite you to come forward this evening. And it is my privilege, on behalf of Franconia Mennonite Conference,
to offer you this gift of appreciation from us to you for your faithful and Holy Spirit-filled ministry in Mexico as well as among us here. So I invite you to open it and show the crowd what it is that you got tonight. Okay?
In Spanish we say, que se lo abra. Que se lo abra, que se lo abra. Thank you. I'll hold it, you open it. She's not going to save the paper. Wow. You're doing good. I probably would have opened it in 2 seconds. Wow. It's beautiful. ¿Cómo predicarán si no fueren enviados? How will they preach if they weren't sent? But it's in Spanish. ¿Cómo está escrito? ¿Cuán hermosos son los pies de los que anuncian la paz? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that announce the peace, that those that proclaim good news, los que anuncian buenas nuevas. And it's presented to Robert and Bonnie Stevenson, faithful ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the people of Mexico, 1988 to 2014. Thank you very, very much. It's beautiful. And in Spanish. And John Ruth's wife made this by hand. Gracias. Wow. That is really beautiful. Really, really beautiful.
It's our honor and our privilege to share it with you. Thank you. And God bless you.
Can I say a few words?
You want to say a few words?
Buenas noches.
Good evening. I'll translate for you.
You don't have to translate. I just wanted to thank the Lord, first of all, for loving me and saving me and by His grace healing me and allowing me to do things that I could never imagined or even dreamed of doing. That's God's grace. That's His mercy. And I thank the Lord for allowing us to be a part of this conference and for a little bit, even though we don't know you all, allowing us into your homes by you all praying for us. There are many times on Friday morning when we have our prayer together as a couple that we pray for each one of your congregations by name. And we say, Father, allow us in some way, somehow, if it's for a child that has just been born in Blooming Glen, or if it was a couple that was just married in Plains, or in Swamp, or in Franconia. Father, even though we're far away serving you, just allow our prayers just to be a little part of their lives and what you've done in their lives, Lord. May we always return the blessing, Father. And there's much I can say, but I just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to serve you, and what the Lord has done in you and through you will always be a part of our hearts and our lives. Muchas gracias.
Praise the Lord.
Bob's going to bring the word to us. Before he does, I'd like to join together in prayer. Lord God Almighty, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you to give you thanks for the Lord Jesus and for the salvation we have in him. Thank you that you call us to ministry. And thank you for the call on Bob and Bonnie so many years ago. And thank you for the fruit of their ministry these 26 years they've been together in Mexico City. And now, O Lord, we commit them to you and we commit Robert to you and pray for the Holy Spirit that you call upon him in a fresh way,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you would speak
thank
to
you,
him
Jesus.
And through him to us this evening. And Lord, open our ears so we may hear what the Spirit says to us tonight here in this Franconia Conference, Eastern District Conference area, God. Open our hearts and our spirits to receive the truth from your word, and we'll give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Pastor Charlie Ness. Praise the Lord. Buenas noches. Good evening. It is an honor and a joy to be here. We've had a wonderful week. We came here 1 week ago. Tomorrow morning we need to leave very early in the morning to get back to Mexico. God has shown us the colors of fall, which I hadn't seen for several years. And this morning we woke up and the trees were yellow, red, green, and white. And you know, when you, I hope you don't take it for granted, but it's beautiful. I was taking pictures and sending them back to Mexico on Facebook early this morning. And as my wife said, stay a minute, we just also want to take the opportunity to express gratitude. We are very, very grateful. It's been 26 years, almost on the same date, Fall Assembly, that the conference leadership laid hands on us and sent us out. I thank the Lord, Luke Beidler and Luke and Dot saw something in us, sent us out to do what we're doing. Charlie Ness backed us. He knew what was in our heart. Very inexperienced. And the Lord sent us out. We found today in the Mennonite Historical Society, and John Ruth was there, and he told me, tell him to come visit us, to value it. He couldn't be here tonight. And we found our first prayer card. And the reason I remember that is last night as I was praying for this word, this is one of the two verses I'll be preaching today, Acts 1:8. That's the verse the Lord laid on our hearts 26 and a half years ago. I was 33 and my wife was 22. Okay. I had to wait till she at least turned 22. Both our children, Roberto and Rebecca, Roberto's 25, Rebecca 21. And they were both born and raised in Mexico. And for those of you who speak Spanish, they were both made in Mexico. Y hecho en México, bien hecho. I can't translate that. And we also brought something a lot smaller than this nice one we got. Who should we present this to or tell? I guess you're the man. Unless you're standing up and you're not sitting down. It's just very small, but one area where we have church plantings is the Sierra Norte of Puebla, a mountain range in the north of the state of Puebla, and they have this clay, and one of their art things is this, what's called Talavera. And this Talavera, it just says, Gracias, Franconia Mennonite Conference. Thank you, Franconia Mennonite Conference. So we'll present this to the whole conference, or tell, and I highly esteem you, my brother, and I love you.
Bless you.
And, we didn't know we were going to get the beautiful artwork, but... And I want to start with Philippians, and this is part of... unless you want to sit there where the potato guy was sitting and watch television. Philippians 4, it's really not part of the sermon, but I just want to read these verses. Philippians is one of the letters that everybody likes. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a very motivational little letter. But the occasion or the reason that Paul wrote this little four-chapter letter is to give thanks to the church, to the churches, because they supported him financially many times. And at the end of the book, we'll go verse 4:15. Now you Mennonites of Franconia and Eastern District, here it says Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when we departed from Franconia, no church shared with us concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Mexico City, you sent help once and again for our necessities. Not that we seek the gift, but we seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, We have all and abound, and we are full, having received from Rich Moore and lately Conrad Martin. Here it says Epaphroditus, but Rich Moore and Conrad Martin sound more familiar, and it's the truth. They have sent the money, and it says, we having received from Rich Moore and Conrad Martin the gifts sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And this is the application that I'm giving, that my wife and I and my son and daughter can thank you and the churches in Mexico that have been a result of this ministry. It's the perfect application of my God shall supply all your needs according to riches and glory. It's not like if you send me $9.99 before Thursday night, God will bless you. The application that I'm giving, that God will supply all your needs, is what Paul meant when he wrote this little letter. Tonight, the two verses that I have, apart from Psalm 46 and Isaiah 40, are Luke 24:49 and Acts 1:8. So if you have your Bible, your cell phone, on your iPad, a month ago we had a young lady come up and read Psalms to begin our service, and she pulled out her Samsung cell phone and beautifully read the Psalm. And you know, but there's still some people that are like, is that really the Word of God? You know, on that little cell phone. And I took her by the hand and lifted up that cell phone. I said, this is the Word of God. I said, how many versions do you have here? She said, three. Two in Spanish and one in English. So that our people would know that this is the Word of God. And I was studying church history last semester. I'm back in school. And when Gutenberg did that Vulgate Bible in Latin, the first book printed, there was a whole lot of academics and theologians that didn't think that book was really the Word of God if it wasn't the Pergamino. If I say words in Spanish, it's because they don't come to me in English. Luke 24:49. Jesus is speaking, and he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. There's many, many promises of God, and all the promises of God are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. But the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit for the believer. That is the promise of the Father. And he says, I'll send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. In the old King James Version, it's the verb wait is translated tarry. Tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be clothed with power from on high. And obviously, the early Pentecostals for about 40 years took the word tarry as if it were a special word that didn't mean wait. And they had tarrying services that people would be all night at the altar in the church waiting to receive power to go out and do ministry. And probably they didn't have a really good hermeneutics, but the Lord used them greatly in the first part of the 20th century, that they waited on the Lord and to receive power. But and then in the Acts 1:8, which would really be Luke chapter 25, the first chapter of Luke's second volume in verse 8, we know that verse. It was on the screen a minute ago. We just made a prayer card a couple months ago, if you want to put the second one on. And we chose to use the same verse, Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be. Not you should be, not you might be, not you could be. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all of Samaria and us and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And many people would take the uttermost parts of the earth to go to mountain villages in Mexico or in Indonesia and the many different beautiful islands. But for us, the ends of the earth is to come back to, where are we? Quakertown, Harleysville. And here we are. So the word for tonight in the assembly is wait. Marta explained it well, that in Spanish, the verb esperar means wait or it means hope. And sometimes it has a sense of both waiting and hoping, and sometimes it's just waiting, and sometimes it's just hoping.
which those of you who speak more than one language or have studied more than one language know that the context of what you're saying, the speaker or the writing saying, has everything to do with what words mean. The door's open. When my mom used to tell me that, it's like, shut the door. You came in and left the door open. If I'm sitting in my office, good, I'll just leave this overturned. And nobody told me how much time I had. This is my watch. And I didn't ask. On purpose. And if I say, I'm sitting at my desk and I hear someone knock and I say, the door's open, what do I mean? Come in. Jesus said, I set before you an open door, and he's talking about opportunities. So words only mean what they mean in the context. So tonight we're talking about esperando, which is both waiting and hoping. And it is true. Who has not been encouraged by the Psalm 27 that says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will renew your strength? Who has not been blessed in Psalm 40? Those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up like with wings like eagles. They'll walk and they'll not be weary. They'll run and they'll not be tired. But the word that I sense to share tonight with some testimonies is the preposition until. Wait until. Tarry ye until. There's always an until. It's not like our potato man sort of preached my sermon for me, but I'm going to do it again anyway. We came a long way just to let the potato guy do our sermon. Waiting is not just a passive sitting back. So the word I have is that we wait until, and we wait until, and then we get up and we go. And the gospel is not good news until somebody gets up and goes with it. The gospel is not good news until you go where the need is. And I am not going to talk about the need in our world today, but it's obvious that the need, people are hurting. People need grace. People need hope. People need healing. We need to have a solid doctrine. 9 years ago, we started a school of ministries. Tonight, the school of ministries is going on. We have 305 leaders in the school today. We've graduated 7 generations from the school. We believe in learning the word of God. We believe in doctrine. But in the world, people today need healing. They need love. They need the presence of Jesus in their midst before anything. So I'm not going to talk about the need in the world today so much, but I just take that for granted in this audience, but we need to wait. But there's a time we wait, and we're waiting for the power of God, and we're waiting for the Holy Spirit of God. We're not waiting for something. We're waiting for somebody. Lately, people can forget that about the Holy Spirit of God. We're waiting for somebody. Somebody that we can sadden when we disobey. Someone that glorifies Jesus Christ. Someone that wants to guide us. Someone that wants to teach us. Someone that speaks to us and talks to us. How many times does the New Testament say the Holy Spirit spoke and said? I'm not going to tell you. I didn't look it up. The early Anabaptists rightly understood when it says, you shall receive power. It wasn't talking about a political power. Conrad Grebel was the son of a prominent city council member. Just think of all the good he could have done if he followed in his father's footsteps and became the mayor of Zurich. Just think of how many people he could have helped and how much social aid he helped. But he didn't live till 30 because he understood that the power that is going to change the world, that is going to heal the hurting and the sick, is not a political power. It's not an economic power. We got to Mexico. We got to the United States a week ago, Friday night. We're going back in the morning to Mexico, our home. And the first thing we did Saturday morning was to go visit Claude Good. And we go so that he will pray for us. Plus, we had some testimonies to share with Brother Claude, who's in the Souderton Mennonite home on the third floor. And the contrast of what really success is and what greatness struck us as we were with Claude. And plus, Brother Luke, you're here, aren't you, Luke? Yeah, I see you there. Luke Beidler. You didn't go to sleep on me, did you, brother? No. Okay. These seats are really comfortable. I never could have these seats in my church. Preach an hour and everybody's half asleep. He said, you remember you told us this? You took us to Souderton Mennonite home, and you said, every time you're back, go visit the old folks' home. He didn't say old folks' home. He said, go come visit the home, come visit the retirement centers. So we went to see Claude, and we had a testimony for him because, and this has to do with waiting until you get the power and then get up and going, because when you go, good things happen. And the goods and others years ago waited until, and they got up and they went. And probably the goods didn't see that much fruit except for translating, helping to finish a translation in one dialect of the Treakies and starting from scratch without computers and translating the New Testament and some of the Old Testament in another dialogue of the Treakies, if you can call that little. But we have a missionary training center. It's like the YES program, but it's not called YES in Spanish. And we modeled it after the YES program, and we call young people from our churches and we bring them together for a month, and we have them enclosed, and they do physical work, and we teach, and it's a lot of the iron sharpens iron between the young girls and the young men, and then we send them out to one of our missions. They've come to the United States, they've gone to Colombia, they've gone to Spain, and they go out to serve. And in April, we did our missionary training, and at end the missionary training, we also combined that with baptisms that we do two times a year. And I just want to put this quick video on. There'll be a young man praying in Treaky, which I ask him if he could do that, and spontaneously begins to sing in Treaky. And I'll get back to Souderton Mennonite home as soon as we finish this. Guys will forgive me. 2 minutes before 7, I gave him my
papers. En el nombre de Jesús. Amén. Amén. Y bueno, gracias hermanos. Y nosotros tenemos un canto y ya se lo aprendieron los hermanos. Vamos al coro. Guruaya, ah, guruaya, ah, guruaya, ah. Guru aya aha, 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 guru aya aha. Dara ne nigada ne shatali achaju naga viju zi guru aya aha. Dara ne nigada ne shatali achaju naga viju zi guru aya aha. Guruaya, 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 guruaya. Amen. Demos gracias al Señor, hermanos, porque
for the videos. All those people are waiting to get baptized, which would be a whole other testimony. When Pastor Aurelio, Father Gilberto, understood about believers' baptism, he built a pool. He said, this is how we'll do believers' baptism. And we've been doing it now for 16 years, two times a year, baptizing 300, 400, 500, 600 people at a time, which would be a whole other testimony. The testimony, Souderton Mennonite Home. We're having a holy moment with Brother Claude, and we have Treakies in our church in Mexico City, and because they knew me from the visits that I would do years ago, out in Treaky Land, as we say, When they come to the city, they have come to our church, and we have four or five Treaky families. A year ago, they came to my wife and I, a year and a half ago, and said, there's one Treaky village that doesn't have a church, and they've never let anybody go in to preach. Can we go preach? And so we arranged it that and backed them as a church, not my wife and I, and commissioned them. And they began to go every other week, and now they're going every week. After 6 months, they had a few believers, and we got official letters from the authority of the town that if they continue to preach in the village, the people that are believers, they would burn their house, and they would not be responsible for all the bad that could befall the missionaries, the Treaky missionaries that we were sending. A year and a half ago when this happened, Pastor Charlie and I went to visit Claude and Lester and Mary Blank. They all got together, and we asked Claude, you know, we've gotten all these really serious threats, and it's no joke. What should we do? And he said, well, you should keep preaching the gospel. I mean, like the most natural thing. Like you should brush your teeth after eating. So now we're back Saturday, and my wife and I are sharing the testimony. And we told him in Santo Domingo, that town where there's still threats against our life, my wife and I have gone a couple times. There's now 22 believers that meet in a house. And then my wife, we had this testimony, we're praising the Lord, and my wife remembers that on her iPad in April, she filmed this young Treaky boy. After he finished the training, we sent him to another part of Mexico with another Mexican language or dialect, and he was there for 6 months serving as a missionary, learning Nahuatl, which is another language, and he's from the Treakys. But my wife just wanted to encourage Claude, and we're finishing up the visit, so she puts the iPad on, and Brother Claude hears the prayer in Treaky, and hears the singing in Treaky, and he said, who is that? And I said, oh, that's Jesus Salazar. And I told him how he's on your missionary training program. Jesus Salazar, what's his father's name? And when I told him, he said, that is the grandson of one of the first two believers that we had in the 1960s when we didn't think anybody was going to follow on with Jesus Christ. The young man is a missionary. He's 19 years old. And we're sending him to other tribal groups and other villages. But my point is, they waited until and they got up and they went and good things happened. It's not a political power that we're waiting for. It's not an economic power. That's when I was reminded of the testimony of the goods, because the contrast when we walked out of Souderton Mennonite Home and we drove around, and this is no critique on culture, but you live in a consumer-driven, materialistic society. How many Walmarts do you need? How many strip malls do you need? No critique there at all. That man is rich, and he has one room, one bed, and some pictures of the Treakys around on the walls and his children. And he's rich. He's successful. And he shall be called great in the kingdom of God. Sometimes as leaders and pastors, we can flip it around, can't we? And what's success and what's great in the kingdom of God? So it's not an economic power. It's not a religious power. Our spiritual mentor for many years, Aurelio Gomez, was a very successful Catholic priest for 41 years, and he was empty. He had no ability to sleep at night until somebody told him, Father Gilberto, Dios te ama. Father Gilberto, God loves you. And he was already 56 years old, 57 years old, and he renounced the religion, and he renounced all the success that he'd achieved. And he started out to plant a church at 57 years old. He understands that it's not a religious power. The Bible says it's a power from on high. So you got to keep looking up. If you're a pastor and things aren't going good, don't just look to seminars. Don't just go to Lifeway bookstores or wherever and buy books and try to copy what somebody else has done and what God has blessed in some other place. The idea that Jesus is giving in Luke 24 is that we need to look up because the power will come from on high. It's not something that you can work up, but as you pray and wait patiently on the Lord, it's something that God will definitely send down. A power that is a preach the gospel to the poor power. It's a healing the broken heart power. It's a power that's not available. And this is two times I've taken a jab at Walmart. It's not a power that you can find on the shelf at Walmart. It's not a power that will come from the House of Representatives. And it doesn't matter if now there's more red states than there's blue states or purple states or pink states. It doesn't matter because the power does not come from Capitol Hill. It needs to come from God's holy hill, Psalm 15. Who will ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who's seeking after the Lord? It won't come from the White House. It'll come from God's house. What will change the world is us, God's people, daughters and sons, white and black, yellow and red, Mexican and Texas and Tejanos y Jarochos. I'm going to preach in Spanish. We're filled with the power of God, and we wait on His power, and we wait on His presence, and we get His heart, and we get His compassion for the lost. And then as we get it, it's until. And then when the until comes, we get up and go out. And then we have to come back and wait again. And we come back and wait again. And these pastors, you've ever preached before pastors? You got to wait on the Lord. I don't want to waste words. But when you wait until, when you get up and go out, good things happen. Good things happen. In our Anabaptist ecclesiology, the church is not a social club, and it's certainly not a refrigerator to preserve our personal piety so we're not contaminated by the world. The church it gets messy, but we get up and go out. I don't know if it comes out in the news, but a large portion of Mexico, several states, have been in a civil war. No man's land. They call them the autodefensas. Somebody speaks Spanish, help me. English. The self-defenders of Michoacán and Guerrero. And they raised up, and everybody's surprised that they also have AK-47s and grenade launchers and majorly armed to the teeth, and they're trying to throw out all the drug gangs that have dominated that area for the last 10 or 15 years. And it's been a literal civil war in different with the villages and the farmers and everybody caught in between. It's a state where much opium can be grown and marijuana is grown, and a lot of it's a coastal state that the drugs come through. So it's an important state for that kind of stuff. And we started a church there right in the middle, and 1 month ago we sent our tent. We bought a circus tent about 10 years ago. Now we wore our first tent out. And we took our second tent out, and anybody wants to preach in a tent, you can come to Mexico, except in the rainy season, and the tent's out. The tent's out right now. Tomorrow night, I'm preaching in the tent by the grace of God. I'm only 60 years old. Long way to go. We take the tent out. We took the tent out to this town. We send people with the tent. We have a man and his wife, worship leaders, mature in the Lord, that are staying on as the pastors. And as we went to this particular town, the tent holds about 400, 450 people. It's really packed out, maybe a little bit more, but usually we get like 90 people during the week when we start, 100 people. Every night in this area where the conflict is, the tent's packed out. I went out to preach. But the testimony, the grace of God, we had two women that went from our church, and they sleep on the floor of the tent, or the women get to sleep in one of the homes of the believers there. And the men sleep on the floor of the tent. They were out inviting to the tent and evangelizing. And as they got to a store, a little girl was behind the counter. And they said, oh, is your mommy here? Is your grandma here? No, no, she's 7, 8 years old. And they tell her, well, we're inviting sick people to come to this tent meeting up here tonight. And the little girl says, why don't you pray for my aunt? She's really bad. Oh, where's your aunt? They took her to the aunt's, the little girl, told her how to get to the aunt's house. And the aunt's in her 40s. And for 20 years, in her house, she's been locked up. I've seen this for years in other mountain villages, not in that particular state, where when someone is either severely mentally retarded or disabled, or someone is demonically oppressed, and I'm not comparing the two, people really don't differentiate in the villages, and there's no treatment, they lock them up in their house. They actually build cells out of wood, and they keep them locked up. And when they're asleep, they'll try to bring them out, and they'll try to sort of clean up. And this lady, for 27 years, Olga, had been locked up. She went to Tijuana to come to the United States. Many traumatic things happened to her in Tijuana. I don't know what happened or why she was like her. Don't even know whether it was just a deep psychological trauma and depression or whether it was something to do with the demonic. But she began to break plates. She began to bite herself. She began to be aggressive with the other family members in a horrible way. So they locked her up 27 years ago. Locked her up within the house. Built a little room out of wood like a jail cell in the house. Our people went. Two women from our church went from the tent. And they prayed for her. And they said they spent 2 or 3 hours praying for her. And there was a change. There was a dramatic change in the moment. There were certain manifestations. And then there was a calm. And there was more manifestations. There was a calm. And then they asked, and she ended up resting and being asleep. They came back the next day. And for the first time in over 20 years, she had asked to bathe herself. She bathed herself, dressed herself. And when they came back, she was sitting at the table eating tamales. God set her free in one day after 27 years. And the ladies that went out, they're not pastors. I don't even think they've been to our school of ministries. They just waited to get the power from on high and they went out. I went to preach in the tent the next day. I didn't do anything. And everybody's talking about this lady, Olga, Olga, where's Olga? You know, she looked a little thin, a little sickly, but she was right there. Clapping her hands. Alabare, alabare, alabare. When you wait and get up, the power of God comes upon you, and it doesn't matter. What qualifies us is receiving the promise of the Father in our lives. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Mark 16:15, the Bible says, go. Matthew, it's translated, it should be, having gone. Matthew 28:19, the only way to translate Matthew 28:19 is having gone. Imperative, make disciples, baptizing and teaching them all things that I have commanded you. But in your English Bible, it says, go. Go. So it's wait until, and then it's get up and go. Highways and byways. The other day, I'm having a great time in the United States with my wife. We put Christian television on, and my mom had it on in her house. And the guy that was on the television, God bless him, he said, now through our broadcast, we will fulfill the Great Commission by the end of 2015. If you send us, we are full. Like Paul said, we are abounding. We're abounding in blessings. We are rich treasures beyond description. Hallelujah. My dad used to say, malarkey. That's a whole nother generation. Baloney, he used to say too. It's not true. God wants real people. Cracked clay vessels. Anybody that's been in the ministry more than 10 years knows they're a cracked clay vessel. And we are what we are by the grace of God. Testimonies. 27 years ago, I left 7 boxes in Vanessa's attic. And I don't know whether they want to remodel their attic or not. They mentioned the other day, you got 7 boxes. 9 boxes, wasn't it? 9 boxes. We went to the thrift shop today. It's funny how after 27 years, what you deemed so valuable that you had to put it in a box, you know, like different this and that and the other thing. And then after 27 years in the attic, you open up the box and you're like, my wife's laughing. There was a love letter in there. 1987, and we saved it. Written from yours truly to hers truly. And you know, God is good. And I cut this article out 27 years ago. And it says, Minnow Simon said, I mean, where am I? Franconia Mennonite Conference Fall Assembly. Minnow Simon said, we seek and desire with yearning ardent hearts, yea, at the cost of life and blood, to make known the truth. feed the hungry souls with the word of the Lord. Therefore, we seek to make known and proclaim to all mankind the grace of God which has appeared. To this end, we preach both in daytime and nighttime, in houses and in fields, in prisons and in bonds, in water, the fire, and on the scaffold. Here we go. Sorry, just got it last night out of the attic. Before lords and princes, orally and by writing, at the risk of losing our possession and our life, as we have done these many years without ceasing, we will continue to do. Are we continuing to do this? Those that have the name Anabaptist Mennonite. Years ago, I read a book, Out of the Salt Shaker. Greatly impressed me. Yesterday and Wednesday, we were with Linker and Luz Sanchez and their two children. We sent them out from Mexico, fully supported economically, to come to Maryland and plant churches. It was a blessing. Wednesday night, we were in a UCC church that has loaned them their facility. But there's now more people, Hondurans, Guatemalans, Puerto Ricans, Colombians, Peruvians, and Mexicans meeting on a Wednesday night than is meeting in this church that's been there since 1880. Linker was a famous singer in Latin America. You can still see him on YouTube. It looks funnier than this prayer card I put. He's got his hair like Elvis Presley. And he traveled all around Latin America and cities in the United States with his singing group. He had fame. He had popularity. He had alcohol. He had cocaine. And he had an empty cart and a guilty conscience. And somebody gave him a tape 11 years ago that I was preaching in a revival service. And he called me up. It was his mother that gave him the tape and his sister. And he called me up and he said, I want to talk to you. And we're talking and he said, you know, my mom and my sister gave me this tape and I've listened to it a couple times and it really bothers me. I said, God, this is really good. Some of the things I said in the tape bothered him. And then when I started telling him stuff, he said, do you know I'm Linker Sanchez of the Pasteles Verdes? And I never heard of that singing group before. It's like a romantic singing group, sort of for an older generation. He's saying, no, I never even heard of them. You never even heard of them? He got radically saved. He left the money. He left the popularity. He still had a really nice house by the lake outside of Mexico City. Children in the best schools in Mexico City because of the money that he had been earning. And he said, Bob, send me to the mountains. Send me to the Indian villages. Send me anywhere. I'm just not happy. I said, he was only saved for like 6 months. I said, wait a minute. We began to teach him. We began to disciple him. We began to walk with him. And 6 years ago, he was sent to the United States and he has two churches. And he's going on with God. Hallelujah. You get up and you go and good things happen. Hallelujah. I could just hear testimonies all night long about when you wait on the Lord, wait until expectation, hope. But I'll finish with this. Job 14. I always said as an evangelist, I would never say that. I'm going to finish with this. Because something else always occurs to you that you want to do. Job 14. Because we really do, if we can, we want to minister to anybody that would want ministry. It's an awesome thing to have a time to preach the word before leaders and pastors. We were in Zion Mennonite Church. Great meal they served us, pastor appreciation. And there was a dynamic done of how many years in the table of people been credentialed ministers. And I don't think we counted some of the wives that aren't credentialed ministers. That would have put us like way over the top or tail. I wanted to count the wives because we would have won. We had Bob. What's it? He's here now, Bob. He's at Whitehall. I wanted to say Bob Whitehall, but he's not Bob Whitehall. He's been in the ministry since 1963, credentialed minister. And Pastor Charlie Ness was at our table, and he's been in the ministry about 45 years, even though he doesn't look that old. And I said, I know we're going to win at our table. But between the tables there, and we weren't that many, we were over 1,000, over 1,200. Warren said 1,300 at the end. Over 1,200 years full-time in the ministry. just in that room. It's an awesome responsibility to do this preaching tonight. And I want to end with this. And we want to minister. Not that we have those 1,300 years, we only represent 26 and a half. That's like nothing compared to the people at my table. Fell 39, I think he said. He doesn't look that old either. Job 14. This is what I want to take to minister. Obviously, sometimes there's a Bible verse that you can lift responsibly out of its context. You have sound doctrine to start with. Job 14, 7. And I want to minister this to leaders and pastors. Believe me, I've been there. We've been there with children, with kidnapping threats, with backsliders, and with backstabbers. And everything in between. We're in the same club. Maybe you pour your heart out to, and then they're talking bad about you. So, the 14:7, I want to use this to minister. And we want to have a time of prayer. Someone will come and dismiss. And we want to have a time of prayer for those who want prayer. It says, "For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender roots not cease." I love this. "Though its root may grow old in the earth." How many got old roots? Been the same ministering to the same people 20 years or more. "And its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant." We're waiting and we're hoping tonight. If there's hope for a tree when it's been cut down and its roots have already rotted in the ground, there's hope for you. There's hope for the churches, the Franconia Mennonite Conference in Eastern District. At the scent of water, Lord, send the rain. Lord, send your spirit. And very good things are happening in the conferences. You can sense it in the field as I've shared and listened to a few testimonies. God is moving. But if you as a minister are in a place in your life or a delegate and you have ministry in the church, one of the chief doctrines of the Anabaptist is that we're the sacerdocio de todos los creyentes, the priesthood of all the believers. So we're all in the ministry. But if you have lost hope over a situation, over a son or a daughter, a biological son or a daughter, over a marriage, we ministered to a pastor last night that's been a pastor for over 20 years. Major difficulties with his marriage came suddenly. If you don't have hope in those areas of your life, the church, try new things, you feel like you've heard from God, you sow much and reap little. We want to minister to you. We want to pray for you. We have been there. A few weeks before meeting Pastor Aurelio while preaching in a street market, and this Catholic priest showed up at our preaching, I was desperate and wondering if God had really called us to stay in Mexico. I'm ready to pack it up. And there's been other times since then. It's nothing to do with the numbers in the pews or in the chairs on Sunday morning. This sense of where the enemy attacks and robs us of hope. But if there's hope for a tree that's been cut down, there's hope for you and there's hope for your church and there's hope for your ministry. And that's the word of the Lord I bring you. When I was saved in a federal penitentiary, sometimes when I say it, it feels like another person. Very rebellious. Very rebellious. I was sentenced to 9 years in federal prison system. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, federal penitentiary. I was in Lexington, and I ended up in Danbury, Connecticut. And after 3 years on a 9-year sentence as a very young man, I came to receive the Lord at 27. few days after I turned 27. 3 years into my sentence, the Lord found me. The Lord found me. Lifted me up out of the miry clay, lifted me up out of that horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, put a new song in my mouth, and hadn't ended till this day. And every time someone came in from the outside, which was sometimes once a week or once every 2 weeks, like Liberty Ministries, the ministry, every time when the preacher, the pastor, the brother, or the sister that preached that night or gave a testimony, I was always coming up there. Yeah, you want the power of God? I want this. Get born again, again. I'll get born again, again. You want to just get, you know, you want to get forgiven of your sins, or you want to call to the ministry, or you want, every time they call people to come up, it was a good thing for us in federal prison to come up front and get prayed for. It was grace. It was good. And then I found, in a lot of churches, come up front is condemnation and guilt. What did he do? Did he look at pornography? She's been unfaithful to her husband? Not praying at 6 o'clock in the morning? And it's like a place of guilt. That's not what God has intended when we call. The Bible says we pray for one another that we might be healed. We lay hands on one another that we might be blessed and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's grace in the call. I could have skipped everything except giving you thanks as a conference from the bottom of our heart. Job 14:7. But if I just went to Job, you'd think I have a really, really terrible hermeneutics. Going through the whole rest of the Bible. So I'll close with this. Who's going to close up here? Okay, Charlie, there. Everybody's looking at you. We're looking at Sharon. Sharon, you were the one that told me I could do this. And that I should. So those that would like prayer, but specifically in a point where you just want, let's call it this, a baptism of hope. A baptism of hope for your ministry, for your children especially, for your marriage or for your family. Those that just want a baptism of hope, you would come up, we'll lay hands and we'll say, Lord, touch. Lord, renew. Restore, Lord God. And we'll just have a time of prayer as we end. The worship team is here.
Lord God, as we leave this place, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us. Open our ears to hear what you are saying to us in the things that happen to us and in the people that we meet. Open our eyes to see the needs of the people around us. Open our hands to do your work and do it well, to help when help is needed. Open our lips to tell others the good news of Jesus, and bring comfort, happiness, and laughter to others. Open our minds to discover new truth about you and the world. Open our hearts to love you and others as you have loved us in Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now, and forevermore. Amen.